Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Good afternoon. It is one incredible Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. We are halfway to the weekend. This week is flying by, as it always seems to do. Man, life goes by so fast. You got to try to love every day, even if your day sucks. And man, if a day starts out and it just sucks or something happens in your day, try to turn it around. Because, you know, again, these days go by so fast, and I don't want to be philosophical here, but, you know, we never get these days back. All right, so the French Quarter Fest has announced the stage and times of this year's lineup. Again, this is a free festival. 300 artists will perform across the French Quarter and Waldenburg Park, April the 10th through the 13th. So it's a month away. French Quarter Fest is 1 month away. Hopefully the weather's going to be great for that. And I know my friend Amanda Shaw will be part of that and many, many others. And we'll talk more about that as we get a little closer to it. Hey, this weekend, you know, we've got the same forecast that we had last weekend. Saturday supposed to be really rainy, might be severe storms in some places. We heard that last week. And I don't know about you, but here at West End, it turned out to be a really, really nice. Well, it didn't rain. It was cloudy, but it turned out to be a decent Saturday. Sunday was beautiful, and this week is supposed to be the same. And Sunday is the day of the big St. Patrick's Day Parade, Metairie Road, and also the Crew of Argus, which did not roll because of wind warnings on Mardi Gras Day. The Crew of Argus is going to roll with the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Metairie Road. So it's going to be a great day. It's going to start early. Usually the parade starts at noon. It's going to start at 10 a.m. So it's going to be a long parade, but it's not going to go on any longer. And, you know, Argus is a contained parade. Argus is not like this endless parade. So, it's going to be a great afternoon, and it looks like the weather is going to be incredible for that. And then there's the Irish Channel Parade scheduled for Saturday, and I think that they're still deciding what they're going to do with that. But, you know, hopefully the weather turns out this Saturday to be as good as it was last Saturday with no rain. But, you know, once again, they're predicting a possibility of some severe weather. All right, we got to talk about this federal judge agreeing to block Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution. And so this has stopped the execution from going forward. You know, I've said this many times. I have ambivalent feelings about the death penalty. You know, I mean, obviously, when you think about and read about the crimes these people committed, you know, there's a side of me that says, yeah, kill them. But then there's another side of me that wonders about the calculated taking of a human life. And while the people on death row may have calculated a killing as well, it was more of an instant thing than something that is drawn out over time, and we're just preparing and preparing and calculating for this killing of a human being. And again, I know I can argue that they're not even human beings. I get it. That's why I say I'm really ambivalent about the death penalty. But anyway, I'll share some thoughts with you about this. And also, you know, my concern is, you know, why does the death penalty have to be so damn humane? All right, we're going to get into that. By the way, I'm doing the show from my studio in my apartment at West End. So I've got the windows open, the doors open. So I don't know if you hear a dog bark or something like that. I don't have a dog in the studio or in my apartment. It's just outside. But I can hear the wind blowing in my microphone. So, you know, I've got everything open because it is such a beautiful afternoon. Donald Trump is threatening Vladimir Putin with devastating punishment. Wait, let me read that again. Donald Trump is threatening Vladimir Putin with devastating punishment if he does not accept the Ukraine ceasefire deal. Go, Donald. Go, Donald. Go, Donald. I'm happy about that. That's good. Good news. Standing up to Russia. It may all be orchestrated. You know, we don't know. So there's more coming up about Canada being the 51st state. There's more coming out about a conversation that Donald Trump had with Justin Trudeau, who is the Prime Minister of Canada, who Donald Trump refers to as Governor Trudeau, as if Canada were a state. Because if Canada became the 51st state, the Prime Minister would become the Governor. I don't think this is going to happen, but now there's a dispute over the Great Lakes and sort of redefining the U.S.-Canadian border, which I think goes back to 1903. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. This seems to be nothing more than an ego trip. And speaking of ego trips, Mayor Cantrell is on another ego trip. This time she's gone to Washington, D.C. And there's a question about whether or not the city council is going to punish her. As I said yesterday, I don't think they have a choice. They have to punish her. I mean, you can't set up a law, set up an ordinance, and have the mayor defy it and not punish her. I mean, you can't do that. Now, what are you going to do to her? I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that. But I mean, I honestly believe that the city council has no choice but to hold the mayor accountable and punish her in some way that hurts for ignoring the rule. And again, this is the arrogance of Mayor Cantrell. We're going to talk about this this afternoon. And I'd love to talk to anybody who voted for Cantrell, maybe not once, maybe even twice, who regrets voting for her. Because Mayor Cantrell really changed after she was elected a second time. In a way, it's not even your fault. She conned you. She conned you into thinking that she was one way. As soon as she was reelected and she knew she didn't have to face the voters again. You see, she really never cared about the voters. She only cared about getting elected and reelected. And once she was reelected, her true colors came out. She didn't care about the voters. She cared about herself. And she did whatever the hell she wanted to do. And this is just another arrogant stab into the heart of the tax-paying citizens of the city of New Orleans. So, yeah, we'll talk about that this afternoon. All right, so there was some fireworks at the White House press room with Caroline Leavitt. There was an AP reporter who, she said, asked a very insulting question on tariffs. And Fox News' Peter Doocy, who I've always considered to be rather right-wing. In fact, I'd put him right there on the threshold of a right-wing radical. He is really, he's kind of criticizing Donald Trump over the whole tariff war that's going on. Mark Levin is criticizing Donald Trump for even negotiating or even considering talking to Hamas. And so there are diehard Trump supporters who are turning on Donald Trump. this is a very interesting time. He still has a lot of support. I mean, his approval rating is down. His approval rating on the economy is way down. And we'll talk about that this afternoon as well. So you know that Donald Trump is suing CBS and 60 Minutes because they edited an interview with Kamala Harris when she was running for president. This was during the campaign. They edited an interview. And Donald Trump said they edited the interview to make her look good. Well, to that, I say, so what? I mean, Fox News edited interviews to make Donald Trump look good during the entire campaign. I mean, they did. Well, now Sean Hannity has edited an interview with White House press secretary. Well, not an interview, but they have edited Caroline Leavitt from her podium at the White House press room. They've edited an interview to make her look good. I mean, this happens. And I'm so glad that CBS has filed a motion now to dismiss the suit, because it's absurd and ridiculous and stupid, and it is a direct threat to the First Amendment. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Yesterday, Donald Trump turned the White House into a car dealership. It was a Tesla dealership. I agree with Donald Trump about not vandalizing Teslas owned by people. I agree with Donald Trump talking about not vandalizing Tesla dealerships, and this is something that has happened, because this is how much some people hate Elon Musk. I mean, there are people who are loathing this guy. There are people who are scared of this guy. So dealerships and cars have been vandalized. And look, that's not right. That's destruction of property. And Donald Trump says that if you attack a Tesla dealership, that's going to be considered domestic terrorism. Well, it's not by definition domestic terrorism, because domestic terror, I guess there might be a stretch there where it could be. But terrorism is defined as something that is motivated by politics. And so I guess it would apply to Elon Musk. But it's generally about a political agenda, a political ideology. Terrorism is defined as being motivated by religion. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it would apply in this case. But I don't think you should be considered a domestic terrorist. I think that's a definition that we should hold for those who are really domestic terrorists. I mean, you could argue that anybody that vandalizes anything is a domestic terrorist, even though there is this idea of getting back at Elon Musk. But look, for those of you who think that everything is kosher with the Trump administration, don't think that, because there are a lot of people who are rebelling, and there are some diehard Trump supporters who are turning against the Trump administration and turning against Trump in this whole tariff war setup. We don't know how this is going to end, but a lot of people are being hurt right now. So, again, there is a lot to talk about, but I agree with Donald Trump. Let me just say it again for those who don't hear it. I agree with Donald Trump. You shouldn't vandalize Teslas because they're owned by somebody, and you shouldn't vandalize a Tesla dealership because that's somebody's business. I think that Donald bought one for one of his grandkids, bought a Tesla for that. They're over $100,000. And those Teslas that were at the White House, these are expensive cars, and this does not relate to Donald Trump's base. So it's interesting that he was there promoting Tesla, because again, it's political payback to Elon Musk for the millions and millions and millions of dollars that Elon Musk gave to Donald Trump to help him get elected. And I think there's $100 million that Elon Musk is now willing to put toward the re-election of Republicans in the midterm elections. So I'm Scoot. If you do want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He is at the controls in the studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you too as well. How are you, bud?
God, I'm great. What a great day.
I know. I wish we could go be broadcasting from outside somehow, but
yeah, I almost feel like I am. I've got the door to my balcony opened. I've got the windows open here, and I've got a glimpse of the, so I can see part of the lake from my apartment. The studio here. And it's nice. It's just a great day. And have you enjoyed more light at the end of the day?
Oh, yeah, big time. I think my body's still kind of getting used to the change. I know we spent some time last week talking about, you know, how much of your circadian rhythms are really disrupted if you lose an hour of sleep, because you lose an hour of sleep all the time. My schedule, my sleep schedule in particular, is pretty chaotic. You know, it's always staying up an hour too late or getting up an hour too early. So who knows? But it is true that I have felt a little extra fatigue in the last couple of days.
Well, it's interesting. You know, maybe there's a little something to what some of the experts say, but I think it's really blown up out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're losing an hour of sleep. And, you know, I don't know about you. I don't have a problem. I wake up early, but then I feel like I need to go back to sleep. I mean, I wake up and I'm totally awake, and then I get tired and go back to sleep. But, you know, I've been going to bed at like 2 o'clock, 2:30, and waking up at 6, and that's not good. I mean, that's taking its toll, and I'm not, you know, I'm not at my best if I'm not getting enough sleep, and I'm truly not getting enough sleep. A lot of you who are parents know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with some of your text messages. And if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, this afternoon, I want to talk about some of the celebrities that refuse to take pictures with fans. And I have a definite opinion about this. Scarlett Johansson admits that she, and this is a new story, she admits that she refuses to take pictures with fans, even though it offends the fans. And we'll get into this a little bit later this afternoon. And I've got a list of a few of the current stars and celebrities who refuse to take pictures with their fans. How do you feel about that? You know, a few of them say, well, I'm not working right now, so, you know, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave me alone. But I mean, you know, you support somebody as a fan and they just want to take a picture with you. Is that a big deal? Now, there are times that, you know, you don't want to be bothered. I mean, there was the time that a guy came up to me and I was eating. He came up to my table and I forgot what I had ordered, but there were French fries on my plate. There was this guy came up and started talking to me, listens to the show. He started eating the French fries off my plate. And I thought, you know, whoa, wait a minute. This is a little weird. I asked him if he would please stop. But anyway, we'll talk about the celebrities that refuse to take pictures with fans. All right, so we got to talk about Mayor Cantrell. And should the city council punish her? And anybody who supported LaToya Cantrell, do you have any regrets for having voted for her? LaToya Cantrell is arrogant. She is arrogant beyond the definition of being arrogant. Mayor Cantrell is a prima donna at the expense of the citizens of New Orleans. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, I mean, maybe Mayor Cantrell is just doing the best she can. Maybe she just can't help it. Maybe it's just in her DNA to be mean and ugly and hateful and just inconsiderate of voters and to be totally egotistical. I mean, we know people like that. You know people like that. I know people like that. There are people who are just so driven by their ego that their ego does not allow them to have any empathy or understanding of the idea that there are other people on this planet. They don't understand that, excuse me, that anybody else matters. Only they matter. I can't imagine what it would be to be like that. I mean, I at this point in my life, I wish I were the Tin Man. You know, that was the character in The Wizard of Oz that didn't have a heart. I wish I didn't have a heart. I wish I didn't worry about things. I wish I didn't care so much about some things. It would be really nice to be the Tin Man. And Mayor Cantrell is the Tin Woman in a lot of ways. So what can the city council do? I mean, they definitely should punish her. We'll talk about that. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Tony, who's on the road. Tony, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
I think you're on to something with Mayor Cantrell not having empathy for anyone else. I don't know which character she would be in The Wizard of Oz, but it's more like she thinks she's invisible. We've seen so many pictures where she's just doing horrible things, and does she not think that people are going to see that or there'll be a photo taken?
Well, that's what I mean when I say she's so arrogant and egotistical that she just doesn't even think that there's anybody else around that matters other than her.
I can't identify with that either. But if there's a law, then there's a lawyer and there's a judge somewhere that will back up the city council when they take this out of her paycheck, this trip, and all of the unnecessary illegal expenditures. Once they pass that law, it's on the books that she violated the law. And I think the best punishment would just be take it out of her check. She'll feel that. But what I really wanted to talk to you about was the burning of those Tesla cars. There's mobs of people, so it's organized. And it should be labeled environmental terrorism. Because a lithium battery takes on the same qualities as mercury or lead. When you increase the heat or change, you know, it can change, you can breathe it. It's a heavy metal. So it's horrible that they would burn any car because you get the tires and the batteries and everything involved.
This is
how hypocritical for the left who says that they love the environment to burn cars.
You know, Tony, that's a really good point. And look, the left can be vicious. Left-wing radicals can be vicious. And, you know, I remember when I was on the air in Seattle and Portland, there were a lot of leftist radicals and activists out there, and there was one organization, ELF, something Liberation Front. It was the... What does ELF stand for, Ian?
It's the Earth Liberation Front.
The Earth Liberation Front. And boy, their tactics were vicious. And I dealt with them many times on the air in Seattle and Portland. And they would burn an entire lot of cars. Tony, I appreciate the call. That's anti-environment if you like burn cars. But that's how moronic and how vicious the left can be. So, yeah, I'm not afraid to call out the left, and I've done this really throughout my career. So that's why I get so bored with this stuff about, well, you never criticize the left. You never criticize the Democrats. I'm bored with that because it's simply not true. Let's go to Mid-City. Mary, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoos. I have a cold, so that's what's going on with me.
Okay, well,
anyway,
I hope you feel better.
I do too. I didn't know. I kind of wanted to vote for Charbonnet. Some of my really honest friends told me to vote for Desiree. But I'm not from here, and I see a lot of corruption in daily activities. And I, at a party, I met somebody who knew Mayor Cantrell from California, and I got the impression that she would be different. So I voted for her. And also because I met somebody who was really compassionate, and I knew she had some dishonest problems. But I was talking to somebody who was very compassionate, nothing to do with Cantrell, but I started extrapolating. I thought, I'm going to forgive Cantrell. She's going to be a good person. I voted for her. She was excellent during Hurricane Ida and during COVID. And she followed Jennifer Evagno's advice, espoused everything she said. I thought she was wonderful. But then I started hearing things like, and then the way she treated Lauren Daigle just was too much. She said she's not one of ours. And Mayor Cantrell is not one of ours, as far as I'm concerned. I just listened and I started thinking, and so I decided to sign the recall, and I've approached both white and black people about it, and a white lady told me, well, we've had bad mayors before, so what's your problem? Well, it's time to stop it, whatever it was in the past. And then a black lady said, leave that woman alone. And I thought, I can't deal with this mentality in this town, you know. But so I was glad that I signed the recall, and I'm very glad I signed it. And I believe she fooled around, maybe bribed somebody or blackmailed somebody in the count. I really don't think that we should have lost the recall. That's all I have to say.
All right, Mary. Oh, Mary, I appreciate the call. For somebody to say, "Well, we've had bad mayors before," really explains it all, doesn't it? And for somebody to say, "Leave that lady alone," if that was an African American person, there's that tendency. There's that tendency to stand by those who look like you when they don't deserve to be defended. This is not about race. This is about behavior. And if those African Americans would criticize a Caucasian, a white person, for doing the same thing, then shame on them for standing by the mayor just because she's black. Because the mayor is hurting the citizens of New Orleans, and the majority of the citizens of New Orleans are African American. So Mayor Cantrell is hurting the African American population more than she's hurting me. Seriously, she's hurting them more than she's hurting me. So why is this somebody that you would stand by just because of race? Ian, do we have a couple of text messages?
Yeah, we got some time here. Let's see. Let's do one about the mayor. Here's one that says, "First, I never voted for Cantrell, but if the mayor paid for the travel before March 9th, then the travel is not against the travel restriction."
Well, could she have gotten a refund? I mean, look, I think that's an excuse. I mean, I think that is an the plans were already made. Maybe the trip was paid for in advance. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But even if it was paid for in advance, it still could have been canceled. The mayor knew. She knew she was breaking the new rule by the city council. And so shame on the city council if the city council doesn't punish her.
Here's a text from G. G says, "The city council need to use the Musk method, cancel her city credit cards, or like Musk, reduce the limit to $1.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem, and one of the things, and, you know, Ed Chervenak, the political pollster and political science professor from UNO, is quoted in an article on our website, WWL.com. There's an article there, and he says, we'll see if this attitude of entitlement continues, and the city council will have to determine what they can do. But one thing that they could do would be to cut off her spending, would be to financially penalize the mayor's office by cutting off funding. But who does that ultimately hurt? I mean, wouldn't that ultimately hurt the businesses of New Orleans? It would hurt her constituents, and her constituents, I guess, in some ways deserve to be hurt, even though they all didn't vote for her. But, you know, at some point, I mean, I hate to say it, but at some point the message has to be sent to the mayor, you're not going to get away with this. And this is one thing, but it's all these little things adding up, and it's adding up to equal a mayor who doesn't seem to care about the city. And I don't want businesses, I don't want citizens hurt by this. If the city council can use, as Chervenak says, the power of the purse, they could financially penalize the mayor's office. If they can do that and businesses and citizens are not hurt, do it. I mean, I would crush her. But there are people on that city council, as I said yesterday, who want to run for mayor. And if they don't do something about this, they will be held accountable for not doing something that they could have done when they were on the city council. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're coming back with more of your comments. And, you know, I can't help but think that this is probably a song that Mayor Cantrell is just singing to herself. Because Mayor Cantrell is just, again, so egotistical, she doesn't see anything else around her except herself. You know, it's just a shame that she looked at being mayor as an opportunity to travel and to live the life of luxury. And, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody how to grieve, but I've never seen anybody in public life so quickly step aside and put aside the death of a spouse. I'm not saying anything beyond that. I've just never seen anybody in public life so diminish the death of a spouse and move on. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Right, we're talking about Mayor Cantrell defying the city council and going on a trip to a conference that she really didn't have to go to. And again, I remind you that Cantrell believes that she's traveling for the citizens of New Orleans, but she never seems to come back and tell us what she learned. She never seems to come back and tell us how her trip around the world or wherever, how her trip benefited the citizens of New Orleans. That's what's so pathetic about it, and it leads me and many to believe that she's just traveling to have fun, and she's really not being the mayor of our city. Let's go to Chris in Metairie. Chris, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey. Yeah, can you hear
Chris?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, man, I was going to make a suggestion about maybe calling a radio station wherever the mayor's at and explain the problem to them, and maybe they've seen her. In the vicinity.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if we could call a station in D.C., wonder if they've seen the mayor around. I have a feeling they're not really looking for her. Their eyes are not, out there looking for her. There's so many other things to look for when you're in D.C. when it comes to politicians that may be participating in questionable behavior that I don't think they'd be focused on Cantrell. But that's an interesting idea. Chris, I'm glad you called the show. Let's go to Richard in New Orleans. Richard, you're on WWL.
This is the question I have with all of this Cantrell stuff. Is she doing something criminal? Bring charges like us. She doing civil? Bring a suit against us. You know, I think we got too much going on around the city. The city is doing good. I don't see what she's missing out on black people. But I do want to say race is a part of our everyday makeup. And you got to realize this. Racism is well and alive in America. Policies are racist today, as we speak. You know, and we got things going on with Jeff Landry, with his one of five people, because they say something about him. Freedom of speech, America, New Orleans, freedom of speech. Your First Amendment right is under assault. The brother that's being Khalil, that's being transferred, he's somewhere here in Denton in Louisiana, that you took from New York, because they saying bogus things about the brother. You know, I'm a Muslim, and I'm a black man. And I'm going to stand up for both, and I'm going to stand up for my city. See, I'm one of those who understand what's going on in the city.
I don't think you should stand up for anybody, black or Muslim.
I don't stand up for nobody
wrong.
That's wrong. I want you to understand that, because I don't want to get no misconception. I was a convicted felon. I told you I was wrong when I done what I did, and I went and paid my dues to society, came back out. I'm a homeowner. I got three properties, Sahel, New Orleans. I got in across the river on the West Bank. But the thing of it is, Stu, we got to get out of this notion, brother. We got some serious stuff going on in Washington, when you mentioned Washington. Elon Muscolini is a low-down dog. His group is not the dog. They the dog. And the thing about it is that we got these terrorists on us, man. We got freedom of speech on us, man. Taxes and terrorists. Man, and the lady saying something yesterday about global warming. People, we got much better fish, bigger fish to fry. You understand? And we got to wake up, period. Blacks,
well,
whites,
Richard, it's,
it doesn't
it's,
matter.
You know,
because I want to say one other thing. You got to understand this, Scoop. White people are voting for white people. So black people, y'all showing the damn better vote for the right black people. Not Byron Donald. Not those grifter blacks. Tim Scott. You understand? You vote for people that's going to do something for your community. Just because they black don't mean you should get their support. And just because they're white and Latino don't mean y'all should vote for their asses neither, if they not right.
All right, Richard, I'm glad you had a chance to talk about, let's see, race, freedom of speech, taxes, tariffs, Elon Musk, global warming, and white people only voting for white people, or the suggestion that white people support white people. Obama would never have been president if it weren't for white people. I mean, that's a simple fact. Obama would not have been president if it would not have been for white people. So I don't buy your argument. And I don't buy your argument that race is... I know that there's racism. I talk about it all the time. I know that there are big things to deal with in our city. But when you have a leader that is not paying attention to her voters, her constituents, the people who put her in office, when you have a mayor who's taking advantage of the power that she has, I think it's time to call out that person. Not because she's black, but because of her behavior. All right, I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're going to come back with more here on WWL. And still to come, I want to talk about this judge that is blocking Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution. I mean, is it really that difficult to find a way to kill somebody? I mean, a prisoner, somebody on death row, is it really that difficult to kill somebody? I mean, what about fentanyl? I mean, look at all the people dying from fentanyl. And I think that's just kind of a, you know, you go night-night. You go night-night forever kind of thing. I mean, I find it difficult that they can't find a way to kill somebody. And then this business about it has to be humane. Okay, well, a lot of these ways are more humane than in the past, but how humane does the death penalty really have to be? I mean, we're talking about death. How humane does that have to be? I mean, I have ambivalent feelings about the death penalty. Anyway, we'll talk more about this coming up. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1983, Run DMC released their debut single. It was this song, It's Like That. I'm Scoot. We'll talk about the death penalty here in Louisiana and around the country. And we'll talk about Trump's attempt to make Canada the 51st state. Is California a state? I think so. Anyway, that's coming up.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Next. Just an incredible Wednesday afternoon. We're halfway to the weekend. It is a beautiful day. I've got the windows open here. This is my studio in my apartment at West End. Ian's back at the station, and I hope you're enjoying this weather. You know, some people might still think it's a little cool. I just think this is ideal. I love this weather. It's great. I mean, I like it to get a little warmer because, you know, swimming in the Gulf of America or swimming in a pool or any place like that, you know, it's a little too cool for that. So, you know, I enjoy getting in the water, a little cool for that. So it can warm up a little bit more for that. But boy, for the parades this weekend, this weather is just amazing. And I hope that you're enjoying these early days of extra light at the end of the day. Because, you know, it's not always this way. You know, you could have a daylight savings time start, and it could be gloomy and rainy and cloudy, but daylight savings time is starting, and it's just beautiful in the afternoon when you get home. And I hope you're taking time to enjoy that. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. We've been talking about a number of things, not the least of which is the mayor's trip to D.C., and there are people who still support her. I hope the city council cracks down and punishes her. But, you know, the interesting thing is there might not be a way to force her to do anything. Now, the city council might be able to punish her in terms of cutting off money to City Hall. That would be a punishment. But is that going to hurt citizens? Is that going to hurt businesses in New Orleans? I don't know. It's a shame that we have to deal with this. And hopefully we don't ever, ever, ever have anybody like this as mayor again. Ever. All right. So a federal judge has blocked Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution. Why is it so difficult to find a way to execute somebody? We're going to talk about that this afternoon. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we've been talking about or anything we talk about, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Biloxi and Taylor. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Taylor.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. I was calling about the previous caller that was speaking about well, you made a comment about white people or Barack Obama never being elected had it not been for white people. And correct. You said that you didn't really buy his argument and use that as justification. And it's not necessarily the fact that that's true. Like, white people, we needed the vote. For white people, like white people needed to vote for Barack Obama in order to get him into office. The issue, though, that I think was overlooked was how long it took for an African American or someone outside of the of the stereotypical race that typically is elected to office, how long it took for a person of color to be elected president. That's the problem that I think was ignored, and that being a symptom of bias that is unfair, quite honestly, because diversity, I think a lot of people, they don't see, and it's unfortunate because diversity, it allows for a fresh perspective, a different perspective, because like it or not, we're a product of our own lived experiences. The things that you've lived through, it shapes how you see the world. And some people, unfortunately, they go through different things, and it shows up in different ways as an adult. And
Taylor, I'm not going to disagree with that. And I don't know how much you listen to this show, and I wasn't in any way denying that racism exists, because it does. I talk about it quite often. I was just stating the fact that white people put Obama in office, just to counter what he was saying about that. But that doesn't mean that racism isn't alive and well. I'm a baby boomer. I'm a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation in many ways. I grew up at a time when there were separate water fountains and separate bathrooms. And I remember asking my dad once, why are there separate water fountains? Why are there separate bathrooms? And I don't remember what he told me, but whatever it was, it didn't make sense. And I think my dad just said something benign like, well, we know we're different, or something like that. I never bought it. So, I mean, I grew up as a white kid in the suburbs, and I never bought into the idea that I was better than anybody else. One of my best friends at East Jefferson High School was a guy named Glenn Wilson, and he was African-American. And we shared a number of things in common. We both wanted to be airline pilots. And it was sad, because I thought in my mind at the time that I would have a better chance of being an airline pilot than Glenn, because Glenn was African-American. And that just, that crushed me. I didn't like that idea that I had a better chance, or that he didn't have as good a chance. Well, obviously, that has changed since then. I don't know. Maybe he went on to become an airline pilot. I didn't. I ended up getting into radio very early in my life. I'd still love to be an airline pilot. But I'm very, very cognizant of race in this country. And I just, I don't think that there should be an excuse for wrongdoing just because of somebody's skin color, white or black. And I think that we need to get to be a society that judges behavior and not color. And until we get to that point, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, and I agree, but unfortunately, there are people who don't share that same sentiment. Because like, prior to laws, like, the reason why we have laws is because there's always people who will not judge fairly. They won't go based off merit. They'll go based off of implicit bias, or racism, let's just call it what it is, you know, that racism has not been, as we all know, completely eradicated. And we have laws in place for people who don't want to judge fairly, like give someone the job based off their merit. And those people always existed. And so that's why we have those laws, because bad people exist in all colors. Like black people are not inherently bad, just like white people are not inherently bad.
Correct.
You have bad people that come in all shapes, all colors, all races. And unfortunately, bias is a symptom of so many missed out opportunities that, like your friend that you were talking about, there was a point where it was not likely that he was going to get that job based off the color of his skin. That allowed that to be a reality back then, those people have not just disappeared. They're still in existence, probably a little bit more in hiding because it's not as socially acceptable to be as racist like now, like it was back then. But the sad thing is, people, those ideologies, those racist ideologies are still there. And what Trump is doing, unfortunately, is speaking to the fear of in people that, and it's a false fear, like that they're going to take your jobs or, you know, and just like scaring people and into like going back to beliefs and thought processes that are racist.
You're right about that. I mean, this goes back to what was described as the Southern strategy that was used when Nixon was running for president. This idea, there was a time when governors and presidents ran on the idea, Republicans ran on the idea that, you know, blacks are going to take your job and steal your money and rape your women. And it was a fear tactic.
We all know that's not true.
No, and it's happening. It doesn't mean that some haven't done that, but some white people have done that as well. Yesterday, we talked briefly about some of the Democrats that might be primary candidates for the possibility of running in the next election in 2028. And I don't think there are many, but one name that came up on our show was Pete Buttigieg. And the problem with him is, he's gay. So no matter how good he is, he might not get elected. He might not get nominated because he's gay. And I'm thinking, what a ridiculous reason to eliminate somebody from the process because they do something in their bedroom that you don't agree with, that you don't have to do, that you don't have to be exposed to. But just because they do it, there are people who don't like that person and would not want them to be president. I think that's really sad.
It is. It's very sad. And it honestly, I'm a Christian. I'm also in the military myself currently. I'm serving in the military. And, like, even if, because personally, as a Christian, it says it in the Bible about homosexuality, but even with that being said, you don't have to, you can still love the person and hate the sin.
Right.
That is just because someone does something that goes against your belief is never justification to persecute someone based off that, because the Bible also talks about loving people. And
Terry, you're right, but look, let me mention this to you. So the same people that condemn somebody for being gay, and they're, okay, let's say they love the person, but they hate the sin, they don't comment on the friends that they have that commit adultery, which is also a sin. So it's almost like if it's not my sin, it's a really bad sin. If it's one of my sins or a sin among my peers, it's not a big deal.
And that's the problem, because you are absolutely right. There is not one sin that is greater than another. Every single sin is at the same level in the eyes of God. There is no, and that's what is insane to me, especially those one, I know some people who voted for Trump based off of like, there was like something like biblical that they're like, oh, he supports one thing versus another because like, I'm trying to like get my words together, but basically if a candidate supports like pro-life versus abortion, you know, they think it's like a sin to kill a baby or something to that extent. And that's the reason why they voted for Trump, because he was, you know, and they called him the one vote, one voter, one issue voter or something like that. And and they used that as justification that they did the right thing because, like, this one, like, you know, it's just like there's not one sin that's worse than it. It's all the same. It's literally like every sin is just as grave as the next. And so for people to use that as justification, like, almost like it's a form of, like, self-preservation. Yeah. And I was like, no, just if you're trying to convince yourself that you made the right decision or that you're a good person, which I think a lot of people, they like to use that as, like, I'm not a bad person. And not saying that they are, people who voted for Trump are necessarily, like, inherently bad, but that is a bad decision. Like that you made, it was a bad decision, like, separate from the person. And the great thing is, decisions, you can make new decisions. Like, you don't have to keep making the same decision. And unfortunately, what Trump is doing, because he's speaking to, like, fear, like, he's, like, pulling that out of people, he's inspiring other people, like the Proud Boys, one of the Proud Boys, the leader of them that was pardoned. He literally went on air saying that he was inspired to run for president, like, sometime in the future. Like, the danger of Donald Trump is not limited to his current presidency right now. It extends long after he's out of office. And we are going backwards as a people.
Yeah, look, a lot of people agree with you. I have enjoyed our conversation. I have to get to a break here. Are you at Keesler?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your service to our country. And I appreciate your comments. And feel free to call our show anytime.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
All right, Taylor. And I appreciate you. Thank you very much. All right. If you want to contact our show, the Open Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. Coming up, we're going to talk about the death penalty. And Louisiana is trying to execute somebody, and they can't find the right way to do it. And a judge has eliminated the possibility of using nitrogen gas. Why is it so difficult to end somebody's life? I don't understand this. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. You know, this is always a really touchy topic, even though some people are just so definite about how they feel about the death penalty. And I'll tell you, if anything happened to anybody in my family, I'd want them dead. I mean, I would want them dead. And I know that's not the Christian thing. And I believe the Catholic Church is still against the death penalty. So, you know, this is another example of how you can go to a Catholic church like I do and not agree with everything the church agrees with. I don't have to agree with everything the church stands for when it comes to abortion, when it comes to homosexuality. And so many of you go to church and you support the death penalty. Many of you go to Catholic church and you accept communion and you support the death penalty. I don't think the Catholic Church supports the death penalty. So in any event, you know, you can have your differences and still go to church. And I make that point quite often. But I know this is a tough topic because we're talking about killing a human being. And when you consider what they did, you can also say, well, they're not really a human being. And I get that argument. I am really ambivalent about the death penalty. So there's somebody that needs to be executed here in Louisiana. And a federal judge now agrees to block Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution from going forward. And apparently it's because it's inhumane. Why is it that difficult to bring life to an end? Why don't they just give somebody too much fentanyl? And if you had too much fentanyl, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you just, like, go to sleep? Like, forever? I mean, there are people dying every day from fentanyl overdoses. I mean, why not just give them fentanyl? I mean, they give people fentanyl in the hospital. They just give them the right amount so they don't die. But if you gave them too much, they would die. What about morphine? If you give somebody too much morphine, they die. But I mean, you just kind of go to sleep, right? So I'm really at a loss for understanding why it is so difficult to take a human life when it comes to the death penalty, if we're going to have the death penalty. Now, this is not a debate about whether or not there should be the death penalty. That's a different topic. But if we have the death penalty and we're going to execute somebody, why is it so difficult to bring life to an end? I mean, can anybody explain this? You know, in the past, we've had hangings. I mean, that's got to be a brutal way to go. But you know, I mean, death is death. And most of the people who died at the hands of people who were on death row, they met with a very violent, painful death. So I'm just conflicted about why it's so difficult to bring life to an end. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Thomas Rhett, who just did that song, Death Row, Thomas Rhett did that song with Tyler Hubbard, who was with the Florida Georgia Line. And they did that song together. And Thomas Rhett also, as part of that, did a commentary on the death penalty. And I want to share that with you before we continue our conversation. That was Thomas Rhett talking about the death penalty and his experience of talking to people on death row. Have you changed your opinion over the years about the death penalty, and how do you feel about it now? Well, I guess we're talking about the death penalty. I really didn't want to get into that. I really wanted to get into why is it so difficult to bring life to an end? I mean, it seems like that would be easy with fentanyl or morphine. Why couldn't those drugs be used? I don't know what nitrogen gas does. Ian, do you know what nitrogen gas does to you? Do you know anything about this particular form of execution?
I'm going to guess that it displaces the oxygen in your lungs and asphyxiates you. But I'm not a scientist, so who knows?
But that, I mean, that could be painful.
Oh, yeah.
But again, you know, we're talking about death and the idea that we have to make death. I mean, it's the death penalty. It's death. Why are we under a responsibility to make it, you know, so humane that nobody feels anything? And if you want to do that, why not give them fentanyl or morphine? I mean, why couldn't you give somebody too much morphine? They would just go to sleep, right? I mean, does anybody have an answer to this? I know we have doctors who listen to our show, nurses who listen to our show. But there was, you know, hanging in the beginning. Well, actually, I guess before that, there was, the guillotine, you know, chopping somebody's head off. And then you heard the stories about how, you know, the eyes would still blink. You know, the mouth might move after the head was chopped off because, like, the nerves were still active. I mean, that would be creepy. I mean, if you saw like this head chopped off and like it's still blinking at you, wow, that would be very, very freaky. So there was the guillotine, hanging, firing squad, the electric chair. I mean, man, we heard horrible stories over the years about the electric chair and how sometimes, in fact, I think they called the electric chair at Angola, I think they called it Old Smokey, was the nickname of the electric chair because it would smoke sometimes. Because, smoke would come out of the top of their head. And it was just I could see that would be a horrible way to go. Then there was lethal injection, and now there's all these things about lethal injection. These things are giving lawyers an opportunity to delay the death penalty, which, again, that's a topic for another show. But why couldn't fentanyl, why couldn't morphine be used? You know, I don't understand that. All right, if you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Chuck B. in Metairie. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot? And sorry, I'm not talking about your current topic, but I wanted to comment on the young lady, Taylor, who just called in just before your break there.
Okay.
God bless you, Taylor. Clearly, she's a young lady who's thoughtful. She's serving her country as a young person. She loves God, and I think she understands the hierarchy and the priority that you know, God's commissions come first. And I would extend an offer to our elected people who are elected to serve the public, you know, to listen to the young lady and have that same mindset and heart set. It's difficult when you've got leadership at the top that is encouraging others who are watching that is a standard of decorum, the standard of character, the standard of leadership. As a country, we should demand better. And for those who are allowing themselves to go to Washington and as opposed to working and standing up on behalf of your constituency who voted for you when you recognize that maybe you have made a mistake. You know what courage is? Courage is being able to, in humility and meekness, say, you know what, I was actually wrong. This is a wrong choice, and we need to maybe recall this or certainly stand up to what is happening. Because just the legalities that are being blatantly broken, the ethics that are being blatantly in front of our eyes being ignored, it's so sad. You've got in the second person behind the president, he's someone who donated over $300 million to that campaign. Then he has the second seat. It seems like he's more than the vice president, right?
Wait, but it's interesting, Chuck, that you talk about the second person behind the president, and that is usually the vice president. But in this place, in this case, it's the co-president, right? Elon Musk.
Yes, I mean, I refuse to even say the names, man. But it's just sad to say that those who are supposedly representing the constituency, they're there to now bow down and kiss the ring, as opposed to representing and standing up for the people whose public dollars you're saying they're serving. What happens to all of these positions and jobs that are being taken away or reduced at a point where there's no real notice? There's no consideration for the families that are being impacted by these jobs that are suddenly now gone, right? There's no compassion or empathy, anything for those people. But it's the way things are being going about. It's a bull in a china shop with no regard, no compassion. And how they're dealing with people is just a really, really sad commentary on what we've allowed and accepted for the highest position in our country.
Yeah.
The highest position in our country. You're talking about the best and the brightest. Do people really believe that man is the best and brightest? That we don't deserve better. No. Man, God bless you, Taylor. And at least that she's hope for maybe future leadership if she chooses to go into public service. And I emphasize serving the public, because in a democracy, that's what is actually needed.
Yeah. And if nothing else, somebody like Taylor, who is serving our country at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, calling us in from Biloxi, at least she could represent responsible voters who are in our future. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okanagan Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. We'll check and see if there's some text messages that have come in. But really, is there any reason why this, and I've thought about this for a long time, all these complications over bringing life to an end, if we have the death penalty, why couldn't you just give somebody too much morphine? Why couldn't you give them too much fentanyl? Wouldn't they just go to sleep? I mean, I've had, you know, I had fentanyl when I was hit by the motorcycle, and I was in intensive care. I had fentanyl. I hated it because I was like, you know, just drowsy. But if they gave me too much fentanyl, wouldn't I just drift off? I mean, I just don't really understand why it's so difficult to bring life to an end that it has to lead to all of these expensive court hearings. All right, I'm Scoot. We're coming right back with more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. This is the Allman Brothers performing live at Fillmore East, doing the song Whippin' Post. On this day in 1971, this was the Allman Brothers performing their first of two shows recorded for the album Live at Fillmore East. And this is from that album. Happened on this day in 1971, and the Allman Brothers were just, you know, epic. And really, going into the 70s, the Allman Brothers became part of that whole Southern rock trend. Southern rock was kind of like grunge was. It was a subgenre of rock that really did dominate music, and that was Southern rock back in the early to mid-70s. I'm Scoot on the air. We're talking about the death penalty. Let's go to Tom in Covington. Tom, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I wanted to comment on the death penalty. I spent 22 years in the federal appeals court, and I worked on some death penalty cases. Mm-hmm. And you read the record and the opinions and stuff, and it was like they were horrible people. I mean, they were beyond horrible. And I'm theoretically for the death penalty, but there's a problem in that it's not much of a disincentive. I mean, people kill each other every day in the country.
That's right.
And it's expensive because the court appoints three attorneys, and the taxpayers are paying for it, and it can last 20 and 30 years before anything happens.
So, Tom, let's set the record. You can set the record straight on this. I mean, I know this to be true, and people don't believe it, and I've been challenged on this, but it is more expensive to...
Yes.
It's more expensive to sentence somebody to death than it is to sentence them to life in prison.
Yes, that is correct. And I worked.
So,
on
Tom,
the
so let me ask you this: with what you know about that, when we're talking about finding the most humane way to kill people, and lethal injection was, you know, the alternative to, say, the state of Louisiana, the electric chair. Why couldn't they be given like too much fentanyl or too much morphine, and they wouldn't they just drift off?
You know, I think that's up to the legislature. I always feel like, let them take their choice. You want a firing squad? Feel free. You know, you want to hang? Feel free. There was a guy in the state of Washington who was quite rotund, shall we say, about 450 pounds. And he objected. They were hanging in those days. He objected to it.
I remember
that. He was so heavy that it would decapitate him.
It's like, I remember that story.
You You're going to die either way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, especially when you talk about how horrible these people are. Look, again, I can be ambivalent about the death penalty, but I'm confused as to why it is so difficult to bring life to an end when morphine and fentanyl will do the job.
I agree. And I think this is legislative, not judicial.
But it's almost like they set it up to become a legal problem.
Yeah. I don't understand the concept of it either because I don't like politics. But I agree with you. Pump them full of morphine and they'll be gone before they know it. You know.
I mean, my God, they'll just drift off. It's like, you know, going night night.
Yeah, you're gonna sleep permanently.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I'm with you. Choose a method that just gets them dead. You know.
Sure.
And it's like if it's fentanyl or morphine or whatever, feel free.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call, Tom, and I appreciate your expertise in that particular area. Look, I've got to get to a break here. If you're on hold, please hold on, because we're going to get to your calls coming up in the next hour. And also, we've got more to talk about. We've got a lot to talk about in the next hour. It always happens. You know, we get a few good calls, and we get behind on topics. So we've got a lot to cram into the next hour, but I know you can handle it. I know you can take it. And, you know, I love to deal with hypocrisy on this show, so let me just briefly remind you about this hypocrisy. Yesterday, President Trump basically turned the south grounds of the White House into a Tesla showroom. And he had these Teslas, and the co-president, CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, the co-president, was there with his son. And so Donald Trump was talking about electric vehicles. He said, it's a great product. It's as good as it gets. Now, I want to remind you that it was 2 years ago that Donald Trump, on Christmas Day 2023, went on Truth Social and said that anybody who supports the electric car lunacy, he wishes that they would rot in hell. And he said the Biden administration's electric vehicle tax credit is a transition to hell and that electric cars are nothing but a hoax. So there's great hypocrisy here, because now his presidential Oval Office roommate is Elon Musk. Now Donald Trump seems to have great interest and appreciation of the EV. All right, I'm Scoot. Again, if you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get back to more of your calls coming up. You know, here's a song, I guess, that, you know, we could ask about Mayor Cantrell. We've been talking about her today as well, you know, after this trip to D.C. How you feeling about Mayor Cantrell? Yeah, I mean, you know, the city council needs to find a way to punish her, and that might be doing something with the money that goes to City Hall. I just hope they do something. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to James Taylor, 77 years old. Listen to the lyrics of this song. I mean, this is a great, great song about life, about fire, and about rain. And you can't have either one all the time. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. More of your calls. We'll get to some of your text coming up. I've got another great moment of hypocrisy to point out when it comes to Fox News. And I'm not just making this stuff up. I'm not trying to bash Fox News. But I want you to know about hypocrisy, because it's so important to pick out the hypocrites, because they're there. Also, we're going to talk about some of the sexiest scenes in movies. And Rob Lowe is saying something that I hadn't noticed. There aren't big sex scenes in movies like there used to be back in the 80s. All right, we're going to come back with more of your comments. I hope you're able to get out and enjoy this great Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot, and this is WWL. All right, halfway to the weekend, halfway to more Mardi Gras parading with the crew of Argus and the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Metairie Road. Waiting to see about the Irish Channel Parade on Saturday. Same forecast as last week. Looks like Saturday could be stormy with some severe storms, and Sunday's going to be great. But last Saturday, I didn't get rain here at West End until, like, you know, 10:30 at night. So, again, we'll learn more about that tomorrow and Friday. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm really glad you're with us. Scarlett Johansson is among those stars who refuses to take a picture with fans. And I've got a list of some other stars. We're going to talk about that this hour. And also, let me share with you, before I get to your calls, let me share with you another bit of hypocrisy. Now, the Trump administration is suing CBS News and 60 Minutes for $20 million, something like that. They're suing over the fact that 60 Minutes edited an interview with Kamala Harris during the campaign to make her look good. Well, what's funny about this is Fox News did that with Donald Trump all the time. Fox News did that too. So it's hypocritical to attack 60 Minutes for doing the same thing that Fox News did. Well, on top of that, yesterday, Fox host Sean Hannity edited a response from White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt that made it seem as if she got the best of a reporter, when it really didn't turn out that way. So Sean Hannity had her response edited so it made the White House Press Secretary look really good, when in reality, she didn't win the argument the way it was presented. And so, again, it's designed to make the Trump White House look good. That's exactly what Trump is criticizing CBS 60 Minutes for doing. So, again, I love to point out the hypocrisy. And some people don't like that, and some people think that this is somehow bashing Trump. I don't know how telling the truth, I don't know how pointing out hypocrisy is bashing anybody. And there's more talk about Trump wanting to make Canada a new state. I don't think we're going to get to that this afternoon, but we can talk about that tomorrow. Let's see. Also, I want to talk about Rob Lowe. And Rob Lowe said something that I really hadn't noticed, but I've been to some movies recently, and I don't remember seeing any sex scenes recently. Rob Lowe said that back in the 80s, every time he got a script, he would just turn to page 73 I mean, he's kind of joking about this. But he said, I would always turn to page 73, and by page 73, there was a sex scene. He said, I don't care if it was about priests and nuns. There was a sex scene, page 73. And there were a lot of sex scenes back in the 80s. What was one of the greatest sex scenes in a movie? And we don't have to go into details about what happened in the sex scene, but what was a great sex scene in a movie? The first one that comes to my mind is the movie Body Heat with William Hurt and Kathleen Turner. And it was hot. It was humid. This is along the Atlantic coast of Florida, the upper Atlantic coast of Florida. Hot and humid, a lot of sweat. It was just steamy. And she was standing in the doorway, and her dress seemed to be, you know, kind of soaked with sweat. And he came in. Anyway, again, I'm not going into any more details here. But Body Heat with William Hurt and Kathleen Turner, that was a really sexy scene. What's another really sexy scene from a movie that comes to mind? The Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We've also been talking about Mayor Cantrell and the city council needs to punish her. And there are things that maybe they can do. And also, we've been talking about the death penalty. I don't see why you can't give a death row inmate fentanyl or morphine, give them too much, and they're going to just drift away and die. A painless death. Why is it so complicated to bring life to an end? I don't get this. And they come up with this formula, this cocktail for lethal injection. I don't understand this. Just give them fentanyl, give them morphine. They're dead. If you want to have the death penalty, then, you know, have the death penalty. If you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Algiers. John, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, John.
Hey, Scoot. Look, I've been in the oil field for 40 years. We deal a lot with nitrogen, and we all take this training. And, you know, if you're unlucky enough to be exposed to nitrogen in a big cloud, like a sudden release, you're just going to, before you even know anything that happened, you're just going to be dead, and that's going to be it. You're okay. Never going to know what hit you.
So it would be a really fast, now, so nitrogen gas would be a really fast execution.
If you're in a massive cloud, right. But,
right.
I remember the instructor saying in one of the classes that if you were in, say, like a lab setting and you were at your lab station or whatever and there was a nitrogen tank in there or a line and it got a leak in it and slowly displaced the you know, put nitrogen in the room and displaced the oxygen, that you really wouldn't know what was going on. You would just become drowsy. You'd put your head down on the desk and you would go to sleep. And that would be it. And he said that it would be one of those situations, or it could be, and it has been in the past, where other people have gone by and say, oh, look, something's wrong with Carol. Her head's slumped over. And they go in the room, and within 2 or 3 seconds, they're laying on the floor. And sometimes person after person goes in and this happens. And really, none of them actually know what hits them. So, as far as being a humane way to go, you know, he said there's no clutching your throat or coughing or gasping for air. It just happens, you know.
It sounds like that would be sort of equivalent to a death from too much fentanyl or too much morphine.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost exactly the same. The only thing, you know, when it's the death penalty, you kind of know it's going to happen to you. But, I mean, if you've got a death sentence and they're going to hang you or they're going to shoot you or they're going to inject you with whatever, I mean, you know that's happening as well. So
right.
Nitrogen death would be no more cruel than anything else, in my opinion.
All right.
You know.
Well, John, I appreciate that information because, I'm sorry, do you want to say something else?
Yeah, sex scene, 9.5 weeks, Mickey Rourke and Kate Bassinger.
Boy, how did I not think about that one? Kim Bassinger, yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, they had a few. They had a few sexy scenes in that movie. All right, John, I appreciate the call. All right, so again, what's the big deal then? If nitrogen gas is going to be an easy go-to-sleep death, then if we're going to have the death penalty, then why not just use that? Why are there all these court battles? And if there's a court battle over that, then use fentanyl. Use morphine. I don't understand this complication. Again, I'm ambivalent about the death penalty, but if we're going to have it, it seems like there are easy ways to end life, and I don't know why it gets so complicated in the courts. All right, Goose is in Maurepas. Goose, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Goose.
Hey, Mr. Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
The fella just before me just stole my thunder.
Well, you say it your way. You agree with him?
100%. I've been in the chemical and refinery field since 1988. I've actually witnessed nitrogen asphyxiation happen to people after the fact. And we actually had an addition to a plant where they replaced some of our breathing air. And they had commissioned the breathing air, and it just so happened we had a crowd, and one of the supervisors was giving a demonstration, and he had to go into fresh air, which is a SCBA. It's fully enclosed over your face. So he hooked up to the oxygen, plant oxygen, so he could give the demonstration and go into a hazardous area. Well, as we're watching, he just slumps down and falls asleep. So we run over there and pull the mask off, and he comes right back. Come to find out, during construction, they accidentally lined up nitrogen to our breathing air. So he lived, and we asked him, what was your last thoughts? He's like, I was eating bread at Thanksgiving at my mother's table.
Wow.
How is that cruel, Scoop?
Yeah, it's That's not, again, it sounds like, look, it sounds like this nitrogen gas is an easy way to go. So I don't understand why there's this big court battle.
I have brought that up numerous times. There's no chemicals to mess with. We call it the silent killer in the chemical industry. And just like the fellow before said, you are taught classes. If there's a man down, do not go get him. Because as soon as you start walking toward that man, if it's nitrogen enriched, you're going down to.
Wow.
There's no foaming at the mouth. There's no nothing. You just get asphyxiated. The oxygen in your lungs is displaced by nitrogen, and you go to sleep.
So I don't Goose, I really appreciate you listening. I appreciate the call. I don't understand why this is a court battle then. This seems like a very humane way to end life. So if the guy's on death row and we have the death penalty, let's do it. If we're not going to have the death penalty, that's a different conversation. Janice is in New Orleans. Janice, you are now on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, Scoot. First of all, if I had my way, I would have a whiteboard. And I would play fair with all the criminals. I'd have the word life on one side, death on the other, with a line down the middle. And I would list on each side. You murder, you die. Sex with a child, you die. Sell drugs, you die. Those would be my big three. And I would let them know. I'm sorry, but I don't have sympathy for people who murder. I really don't. And insofar as it's being humane, it's not humane when they kill people. Are you still there?
No, it's true. I mean, it's true. It's not humane. And, you know, if you talk about...
If somebody comes to murder you, do you think they're going to say, oh, Mr. Patient, how would you like me to kill you? They don't care.
No, they don't. I understand that.
I don't have any sympathy for them. I'm sorry. I just don't.
I don't either, but I still have ambivalent feelings about this. But I don't know why it is so difficult to bring life to an end when it seems like there are things out there, like now I'm learning nitrogen gas is one way, fentanyl and morphine, other ways that are very humane deaths. So why is this a problem? Why is this in the courts? If you're going to execute somebody, execute them. If not, well, then don't execute them. But it's absurd to have death row if you don't enforce the death penalty. All right, Jack, is it? No, look, I got to take a break here. We're going to come right back with more. Jack, if you're on hold, just stay with us and we'll come back. Also, we've got to get to some of your text messages, so all of that is coming up. What's another really sexy scene in a movie? We've got Body Heat, and we've got the sexy scenes in 9 1/2 weeks. What's another movie that had a really sexy scene about making love? Well, I just thought of one. This was really benign in terms of being graphic, but it was very, very sensuous. I thought the love scene in Romeo and Juliet, the Zeffirelli version of Romeo and Juliet, I thought that was a really sexy scene. All right, we'll continue to talk about that. Also, I'll give you a list of some of the celebrities that do not take photographs with their fans. And should they? I have Scoot on the air. We'll talk about that when we come back on WWL. What are the movies that had the sexiest scenes? And, you know, I think Rob Lowe has a point, and I hadn't really thought about it. I haven't been to a movie recently that I can remember that had a good sex scene in it. And he's saying that they don't have them today like they used to in the past. What was a good movie with a good sex scene? We've got 9 1/2 weeks. We've got Body Heat. What about Dirty Dancing? That was a pretty steamy love scene. Titanic. You know, they were on the ship, but they were in the car. Ghost. I mean, didn't she kind of have one? Yeah, there was one in Ghost. Eyes Wide Shut. You know, the one about the Swingers Club with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman? Yeah. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Before I get back to your calls, Scarlett Johansson says that she does not like to take pictures with fans, even though fans are offended. There's an article in InStyle magazine, and she talks about this. She said, I know it really offends a lot of people. It doesn't mean that I'm not appreciative, of course, but people are fans. They're happy to see me. But I always say to people, I'm not working. I mean, is that a good excuse? You're not working? If you're a celebrity in public, I get that you're not working. But if you have fans that come up to you and want to take a picture with you, I mean, that's the least you can do for them. But Scarlett Johansson is not alone. Billie Eilish does not do pictures with fans. Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Schumer, they don't do pictures with fans. Joaquin Phoenix, Justin Bieber, Amy Poehler, Cameron Diaz, Prince Harry, Chris Pratt. Some of those who don't do pictures with fans. And I think that's, you know, doing a selfie with somebody is replacing the autograph. And an autograph is a way of actually proving that you met somebody famous. And the selfie today replaces the autograph. Nobody asks for autographs really anymore. And they want selfies. And they can show their friends that they actually met you. When it happens to me, I am glad to take a picture with any fans. Anybody who listens to the show who wants to take a selfie with me, sometimes somebody will say, oh man, my husband loves you. Can I take a picture with you and show him? Or, yeah, my wife listens to your show. Can I take a picture and show her? You know, I'm happy to do it. And I think that's the least that anybody in that position can do is, you know, agree to do a selfie with them. All right, let's go to Jack in River Ridge. Hey, Jack, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, I don't know if this is exactly the same thing, but it seems to remember I read something a few years ago that the night that Pat Mahomes was going to propose to his wife, he took her out to a nice restaurant, and because nobody bothered them, he picked up the check for everybody in the restaurant.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, look, I mentioned earlier in the show that this was just totally obnoxious. I mean, it's not that some people aren't a little bit obnoxious, but somebody came up to me, and I was having dinner with my girlfriend at the time, and I think my son was with us, and there were French fries on my plate, and this guy's talking to me, and he starts eating the French fries off my plate. And I'm thinking, dude, wait a minute. This is not appropriate.
That's too much.
So, yeah, I mean, I like when... it's nice when people don't say something, but it's okay if they do. As I've said, when I meet people, it gives me a chance to put a face with the audience. But if somebody wants to take a picture with you, I mean, I feel like that's the least that I can do.
And the sex, I don't know if you're going to count this one, but if you watch Game of Thrones, there was plenty of sex every week.
I didn't watch that, but I would count that. Yeah, I would count. They had good sex scenes in there.
Aquaman with, I can't remember her name, little blonde. She was the queen of dragons or something like that. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, I didn't see that.
It was funny every week. Yeah.
Was it an underwater sex scene?
No, it wasn't. No. He wasn't playing Aquaman in this particular case. Look, Scoot, I just had one question for you.
Yeah.
Whether or not you believe that Trump's strategy to bully people, you know, bully these countries by the use of tariffs is going to work, I think that he's going to do at least short-term damage the next few years on some companies that are doing business in these countries. Because even if they end the tariffs tomorrow, if you're a Canadian, are you going to buy American products if you can avoid it right now with Trump's attitude and the way he's trying to get them to become the 51st state?
Well, I think a lot of Canadians would easily boycott American products right now.
Right. So even if they're available, he's doing damage.
But I think you bring up an interesting point, Jack. And in all of this, if things turn out well, none of this matters. And I feel badly for the little people who are going to be hurt in the process. But in every economic situation, there are winners and losers. Every economic change, there are winners and losers. If there are more winners than losers, then it's worth it. But in the end, Donald Trump is going to be judged on what he does in the end, not what he does in the beginning of his presidency. So, you know, we have to wait and see.
Right. Thanks for taking my call, Scoot.
Appreciate
the call.
You too. Let's go to Lynette in Diamond Head. Lynette, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Lynette.
Hello.
Hello, Lynette. You're on WWL. Hello. Lynette, can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah, Lynette, can you hear me? Okay, yeah, I guess you can't hear me. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. The first hurdle is the Eighth Amendment, which guards against excessive and or cruel or unusual punishment. ACLU and other anti-death row advocates will use that a lot of times in courts. Also, a lot of civil rights advocates will use the fact that there's a disproportional number of people as far as races on death row and therefore subject to execution. So they, you know, they'll use that, the fact that, you know, an unusually large number of black people are on death row. The big thing, too, what it is, and I read this statistic, that 75% of the people on death row that have been convicted of homicide killed a white person. So, again, looking at demographics and the fact that a large number of crime, according to demographics, is black on black, this kind of stands out as an issue with the people that are on death row. Finally, I'll say most of the people on death row had public defenders, nothing against them, if that's all you can afford. I promise you, they could have had a tape of O.J. killing Nicole Simpson and her boyfriend, just 100%, and his million-dollar lawyer team would make sure he never got close to death row. They would have kept doing extensions and delays, and he would have never seen death row. I'll give it to you.
But if O.J. Simpson had a public defender, he would have been found guilty easily.
Right. Yes.
Look, good points, Irvin. I tend to focus on behavior, and I don't like to focus on race. And if you commit a crime, and if you have been found guilty by your peers, and if there's no doubt about that, and one of the reasons I'm ambivalent about the death penalty is that there have been so many people who have been close to death, and it's turned out that there's new DNA evidence that they're innocent. And it is far better, in my opinion, to let a guilty person go free than to execute an innocent person. I mean, that should never, ever, ever happen. And that's one of the reasons I'm ambivalent about the death penalty. But I'm commenting mostly not on the death penalty being right or wrong, but on this idea that why is it so difficult to humanely kill people when if you just give them too much fentanyl or too much morphine, they just go to sleep? And now we're learning that nitrogen gas just puts you to sleep. These judges need to stand up and just denounce this playing out of death penalty cases to the point where, you know, what does somebody have to be? Do you have to have somebody to spoon you while you're dying? Do you hold a nice stuffed animal and somebody spooning you while you die? I mean, it's death. It's the friggin' death penalty. And you know, maybe death hurts. It might hurt. I mean, it might be humane, but it still might hurt a little bit. I mean, cruel and unusual, that's all subjective. It's up for interpretation. I get that. But there are so many humane ways to end life that I don't understand why these cases go on. And if we're not going to execute people, then let's end the death penalty. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Here's a song we're dedicating to Mayor LaToya Cantrell, who defied the city council's ban on travel, and she went to a conference in Washington, D.C. anyway. It's because the mayor is a prima donna. Now, she just doesn't see anything except herself, and it's all coming to an end. It's joyously coming to an end October the 11th. I mean, officially when somebody new takes office, but this city's going to be better off, in my opinion, without Mayor Cantrell. I hope the city council takes action. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. We've been talking about some of the movies that had the sexiest scenes, and I thought about this because Rob Lowe is saying that movies don't have sex scenes like they used to. Pretty Woman had, I don't know if I just mentioned that, Pretty Woman had a nice sex scene in it. And again, one of the really subtle sex scenes that I remember as a young person was the scene in Romeo and Juliet. And I mean, it wasn't graphic at all, but you kind of knew what was about to happen there. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Romeo and Juliet's got a little controversial. That's got a little long in the tooth. Both of those actors that played Romeo and Juliet were 15 and 16 years old respectively. So yeah, it's a good thing it wasn't too graphic.
Yeah, and then, there was a Pretty Woman with Brooke Shields, done in part in New Orleans. And there was some controversy about that because she was so young.
You don't mean... Well, that's Pretty Baby.
Pretty Baby.
Pretty Woman is Julia Roberts, right? Yeah,
that's right. Pretty Baby.
Yeah, no, Pretty Baby is
baby.
Pretty Baby is pretty weird. I'll read some text, but I would also like to just submit to the record, The Matrix Reloaded, the second Matrix movie, when Neo and Trinity get back together and they make the whoopee kind of in the beginning of the movie. That's I mean, and I've never heard anybody say that before. There's a lot of kind of repeat submissions on the text line here. A lot of people saying, Basic Instinct,
That was another
Fatal Attraction, or a lot of people are saying Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry in Monsters Ball. Let's see. Oh, and
friend Rhonda Shear was in a movie. It was a B movie, but it was a movie called Basic Training. And I saw that movie with her in her living room. And I tell you, she didn't look like she was in need of much training.
Here's a text that says, "The postman always rings twice." Are you familiar with that one?
Yes.
Yeah,
some remember
people suggested
that one.
That.
Great idea.
Another sort of millennial bait movie with a steamy scene is Wild Things with Denise Richards and Neve Campbell in the pool.
Yeah. That was another steamy. You know, I knew we would get some good ones with our text line.
Yeah, I like, Wild Things is not a great movie, but they've done a good job of kind of just like layering this sort of sexual tension into it throughout. So the pool scene is, it is what it is. But the whole movie, you're kind of odd in the edge of your seat going, oh my God, what's going on with these people? A number of people also said Titanic, where she puts her hand up against the window like that and it kind of smears over the condensation.
Yeah. I did mention that one, but
sure.
I had not thought about Basic Instinct, and I had not thought about Wild Things or Pretty Baby.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch Fatal Attraction. I think I saw that when I was kind of too young to see it, and I didn't quite clock what was going on, but I'd like to go back and check that out again.
I like that movie, but Fatal Attraction had several steamy scenes in it, and I thought it was just a great movie. Man, if you're ever thinking about cheating on your spouse, just watch that movie first before you actually dip into that pool.
And I'll leave you with this one. This is an extremely deep cut, but if anybody else is listening that knows this film, the payoff is going to be huge. Somebody texted in and said, David Cronenberg's Crash, which I think was NC-17, maybe. Not Crash that had, like, Matthew Dillon and all those other people in it. You know,
Crash.
Discount
it was,
Magnolia.
I saw that movie.
You saw that where people are, like, turned on by the car accidents, right?
Well, essentially, they're turned on by car accidents, and they show up at car accidents, and their goal is to have sex with the bodies, bodies from a car accident.
I responded to the texter, and I said, we had a VHS copy of that in high school that we traded around like a gold bar.
Wow.
We liked that movie
a lot. But that was a real strange direction to go in with a movie. These people would show up at car crashes, and, you know, they would want to, like, you know, do the bodies. Which is why there's a name for necrophilia. You know, I would think that that action wouldn't even have a name, that there would never be a name for that action, because it's so deplorable, so horrible. But, you know, there's actually a name for it. All right. We're going to come back to wrap up the show. But let me mention from the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2016, Iron Maiden's personal Boeing 747 was badly damaged after colliding with a tow truck while grounded in Santiago, Chile. The band's crew and 20 tons of their equipment were not on board at the time of the crash, but two ground crew workers were injured. You know, Iron Maiden, Led Zeppelin had a 707 or a Boeing 720. I'm not sure which. They had one or the other. But Iron Maiden had a frickin' 747. I mean, there would be a lot of room there to do whatever you wanted to do. But, you know, I mean, you have all these lawyers that talk about if you've been hit by a big truck, you know, maybe they could, you know, start talking about if you've been hit by a big plane. I could just picture a parody of this where a lawyer would talk about if you've been hit by a giant plane, don't settle. Call me. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Well, it was on this day in 1988, this was the number one song in America. One of those songs that some of us hate to admit that we really like. Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. A Vermont police officer fatally struck a cyclist. The police officer was a Sergeant Kyle Kapitensky. Was in his cruiser, and you know what caused the accident? At the time the accident happened, he was cruising in his cruiser, and do you know what was on the video screen? He was watching a video titled Trans Women Confronting Matt Walsh Takes an Unexpected Turn. And the guy was watching this video about trans people. You know, some people are just a little bit too obsessed with the whole trans thing. All right. Oh, hey, a movie that we didn't mention, and this is, you know, showing that our show is inclusive. A lot of people might have found the sex scene in Brokeback Mountain to be very sexy. All right, I'm Scoot. Want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, and Traffic with Courtney P. Sports Talk is next. And thanks for being with us. As always, I'm Scoot, and hang in there. Love you, New Orleans.